Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party where we talk about the news. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And today is February 28th, 2021. It's 1:14 p.m. Central Time, which is why we are not discussing who won the Golden Globes. This is dropping after that happened. But honestly,
we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. And really, who cares? So,
yeah.
But anyway, what's going on with The Bachelor these days?
Oh, man. There's so much stuff going on in this franchise, man. So, well, you know, as of today, I mean, actually last night, Emmanuel Acho, former NFL player who kind of got like a little second wind of fame for doing his, you know, uncomfortable conversations with the Black Man series that he's had going on since the events this past summer. He is going to replace Chris Harrison, at least for the final couple shows, like after the rose ceremony where they kind of bring everybody back and talk about stuff. Chris Harrison is going to be still the host for stuff that's already been recorded, I think, for like, you know, the Women Tell All, which is Monday's show. So tomorrow's show is not going to be a regular episode of The Bachelor. It's going to be like, you know, the Women Tell All, like the people who have left the show talk about stuff, and it's recent, and Matt James comes back to talk to people and stuff like that. So it's the week after that'll be the fantasy suites. This is when they could spend, you know, the final three ladies get to spend a full day and night with The Bachelor. And after that, it's finale time. So,
So like three more episodes, something like that?
Essentially, yeah. Unfortunately, though, because of all of the behind-the-scenes stuff going on with the show, the suspense of the season is gone because I know who he picks and I know that they're not together. And he is unfortunately the biggest loser in all of this, is because he, you know, when he signed up for this, not necessarily, I don't think entirely just to be famous, because, you know, he played college football. Like, he's best friends with an existing bachelor and bachelorette already. Like, they were roommates together and stuff. So it's not like people didn't know him and stuff like that. So it's not like he was like a fame seeker. And based on his actions in the show, that's not his attitude. He seems like a genuinely good guy and a good dude. It just sucks for him that in the first season where you have a Black bachelor, right, a Black male lead, it is mired by controversy, and he doesn't get to, you know, end up with the woman that he picks.
Well, you'll have to keep us posted on how it all plays out. It's too bad that it's been spoiled, but, you know,
yeah,
what can you do?
Yeah.
All right, well, have you seen anything else this week?
I did. The premiere of Superman and Lois.
Yeah.
That was a great first episode. I was incredibly impressed. And because, like, I had no idea what they were going to do, what angle they were going to take. I thought I was, you know, initially I was like, this is probably going to be dumb. Like, he has two teenage kids. What's this? But everything was hitting in that pilot episode, I've got to say. The surprises that were there, the Easter eggs, the essence of Superman was present the entire time. I was like, they knocked it out of the park. That is the strongest, you know, of the Arrowverse pilots that have come out, right? And it's funny because, like, a lot of the discourse where people were saying, it's like, oh yeah, like, you know, this is the best pilot since the Flash pilot in 2014. Not so fast, my friends. I've recently watched the Flash pilot. It is not better than Arrow's pilot. Arrow's pilot is way better. And I get it. I'm a little biased because I do an Arrow podcast, but Arrow's pilot is better than Flash's. So if I had to rank them, it is Superman and Lois's pilot, Arrow. Probably there's a tie between Supergirl and Flash, and probably right underneath that is Legends. I haven't seen Stargirl yet. Batwoman, I'm sure, is down there. So, but yeah.
Stargirl doesn't count. That's not part of the thing.
So. Yeah, not yet, at least. They'll probably fold it in.
Yeah.
Black Lightning is better than Flash, too. That's third.
Yeah, out of the ones that I've seen, I'd probably say Black Lightning had the best pilot, and then maybe Supergirl would be number two. And then probably, like, Legends, Flash and Arrow. Sorry.
Oh, whoa! Arrow at the
but,
bottom.
You know, I mean, it's just not bad, but, you know, whatever. But, well, I didn't see Superman and Lois yet because I'm watching these through very methodically, but I did get through season 6 of the Arrowverse. So
okay. What'd you think?
I mean, I think for the most part it's good. You know, there were some. It's weird because, like, you know, some of the shows they have like ebbs and flows and stuff like that. But I think season 3 of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes,
I think that was probably the best of the series in this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff that they do on there is just so off the wall. Insane. I mean,
they embraced it. Season 3 is when they fully embraced it, like the off the wallness of everything, and that's what really made it work and take off.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And, you know, like the Bebo episode where
it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hilarious, and yet also offers like this social commentary, which I think is pretty freaking great. And then for them to end the season, right?
Yes.
The how they defeat the big bad. Yes, now, exactly. Granted, this was stolen from Ghostbusters and whatever, but the fact that they beat the big bad with a giant Bebo.
It's hilarious.
It's so perfect. It's so perfect.
So funny.
I loved it. And it's like, and that thing, that is also, like, Supergirl has been, you know, probably my favorite show up until this season.
Okay.
And this season, they decided to get, like, all serious. Like, even, like, the theme song and everything, the logo and everything, they're like, we're going to go dark this year, you know? Or as dark as, like, Supergirl can go. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that doesn't really work as well. Because, I mean, one of the reasons why this show was so good is because all of these people were so charming and everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, we already have, like, Arrow for, like, the sort of like melodrama stuff and everything like that. Like, I don't think that we need that from Supergirl, but whatever. I mean, I don't think it was bad. I just, it didn't live up to the first two seasons for me.
No, so, I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, on the whole, I thought they were all pretty good. And Black Lightning was certainly a big surprise. You know, people talk about how it's sort of like on the fringes of the Arrowverse, you know, it's not really, I mean, these, the first season, at least, it's not even in the same continuity, but it has its own identity. And it's, I mean, it's similar to, not in style or whatever, but just in terms of that uniqueness, it's similar to like how Constantine was, even though.
Yes.
But I think it's definitely a lot better than Constantine. And it just, I don't know, everything about it. It doesn't feel so much like a product as like a vision, I guess, you know? So I don't know. I was really impressed with that, but
cool.
Yeah. So I'll keep you posted as I continue, but
okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I remember not liking season 6 of Arrow that much, but you know, we're in on Always Hold On to Arrow. We're only in season 3. So when we get there, y'all, we will do our deep dive as we do on that podcast.
Season 6 for I mean, my, you know, snap response to it or whatever is a snap judgment of it is that it starts off slow. Like I wasn't really feeling it. Mm-hmm. And then like midway through, there's sort of like a gear shift and they like switch the big bad.
Yeah.
And once they did that, once it shifts in the back half of season 6, it really picks up and gets a lot stronger. And I'm only a couple episodes into season 7 right now, but when they, spoilers, sent him to jail, you know, I'm like, are they doing the Supermax thing, that the movie that they were talking about doing for years and years and years? I'm curious. I mean, I'm sure, I mean, don't tell me, but I'm sure they're not going to keep him in jail for the entire season. But if they did that, that would be pretty awesome.
You know, it would have been. And I'll say this, he's in there longer than you probably thought he would be. I'll say this. I was impressed with how long they kept him there.
Okay.
Given, you know, the show, the network, and its general, you know, the general formula that goes along with with their product, right?
Yeah.
I'm impressed that they were able to keep them there, him there, as long as they did, and I think that they kept him there for probably the right amount of time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm curious to see how it progresses. Yeah. So, the Oscars are coming up, and today is the last day of eligibility for Oscar movies in the 2020 year. And because of that, the Oscars were able to release their reminder list of all the eligible films this year. I think it was like 366 movies, which...
a lot.
I think they said it was the most since like 1970 or something like that, which I'm like, how were there 366 movies in 1970? But whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. So I decided to finally put together an actual top 10 list for 2020. Okay. Did you do this too or not?
I didn't put them like in an order. I just have 10.
Okay. All right. Well, do you want to share your 10?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So Soul, of course, The Five Bloods, Judas and the Black Messiah, Trial of Chicago 7, United States versus Billie Holiday, News of the World, Promising Young Woman, Emma, and Minari, because I keep hearing things about it. I haven't seen it yet. And same thing with Nomadland. Those two are on my list of things to see, and I've heard good things about them, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they're like.
Okay, well, so Soul would be your number one, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
In my opinion, it's the best movie of 2020.
Okay. So for me, I did put them in numerical order, so I'll count it down.
Okay.
And it's changed a little bit from my initial reaction to some of these things. But
okay.
Number 10, Rebuilding Paradise. Number 9, Tenet. Number 8, Happiest Season. Number 7, One Night in Miami. Number 6, Miss Americana. Number 5, Beastie Boys Story. Number 4, Birds of Prey. Number 3, Trial of the Chicago 7. Number 2, Promising Young Woman. And number 1, Totally Under Control, which, you know, it's not like, you know, like Promising Young Woman, I've seen twice now, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see it again. And, you know, like that's, I think, probably like my favorite movie and the one that I'm going to go back and rewatch, you know.
Okay.
But what Totally Under Control did was, I think, more important and more impressive in some ways, the fact that they were actually able to pull off this movie in such a short period of time, you know, which it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it did leave a lasting impression of terror with me.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, like, to the point where, like, I was having like panic attacks after watching this movie. So, yeah, definitely check out Totally Under Control. It's on Hulu. It's worth it. But yeah.
Cool.
All right. So, the big news this week.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-Nehisi Coates is going to be writing a Superman movie produced by J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this last week.
We were.
But, I mean, all of that is official. Reports which are not official but have been, you know, stated by multiple sources is that Superman is going to be black.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, we were just talking about this last week.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this news?
I don't think it's a good idea. In this, because of, you know, what I mentioned last week. Now, granted, there are two black Supermen, right? In comic books, but they are alternate universe characters. They're obscure, and one of them, Val Zod, was Earth 2 Superman during the New 52 era, which is over, right? And the other is Calvin Ellis, the Superman of Earth 23, which was created in the wake of the Obama administration and him winning the presidency, right? So granted, there are two black Supermen, but I think my problem with this is, you know, when if this happens, then all this will be is it won't be allowed to stand on its own, because all this will be is, oh, well, this is black Superman. It's not really Superman, right? It's going to be a lot of the discourse behind this, because that's what happens anytime any minority community gets like involved in something like this. It's like, oh, it's just the fill in the blank version of the quote unquote right one or the real one, right? It always happens. I mean, like if you pay attention to any of the discourse that's happened with, you know, this news coming out, you'll see how, you know, how already toxic it's gotten. And it reminds me of what it was like when Miles Morales was introduced. It's very much like that. And granted, you know, Miles, you know, is now more mainstream and he exists alongside of, you know, Peter Parker. But, you know, when he first came out, like, you know, he was in the Ultimate Universe, and then because they killed Peter Parker and the story worked for that. And but now Miles is super popular. And I don't know if this will have the same, if this the same thing will happen with this project. It could, because you have Michael B. Jordan in it, and Michael B. Jordan's great, and he has a pretty much, you know, 100% approval rating, you know, across the board. But my worry about this is A, it'll just be looked upon as being, oh, well, this is, you know, it's just Black Superman, it's not the real one. The other thing is, it's what I said last week. If we do this, then that means we don't get Black characters who've already existed to get their shine and have their day. Right. And so, because if we do this, you know, we're already walking the fine line of, you know, of having that discussion of whitewashing versus race bending in these things. Right. But if we get this, this means, you know, again, we're not going to get John Stewart. We're not going to get Vixen. We're not going to get, you know, the list goes on and on. And the thing that I want to see is, instead of seeing this, I want to see the Augustus Freeman story on screen, because I think that is a more powerful story to tell with a lot of this with similar elements. And for those of you that do not know who Augustus Freeman is, he is Icon from the Milestone universe. That is a property that DC has and owns and has since the early 90s, and they keep kind of dropping the ball with their handling of it. Like, this would have been a perfect time to do this, right? Because their world is richer. I think the story is a little bit more hard hitting, and you could tell the story, I think, that they're probably wanting to tell with this, with that, better, in my opinion. I think, you know, the world doesn't need a Black Superman. Instead, what it needs is an icon. And that's a tagline, by the way, for a movie.
I can see that. Yeah. Just to clarify, Jordan's involvement is not confirmed yet. What
I'm just saying, like, if they get him, and why wouldn't they? Right.
Right. I mean, because that's the thing here is, like, Jordan and Abrams were trying to do a Black Superman movie for, I think, years, and it never really got off the ground. And now this is happening again with Abrams, and it's like, well, you know, just connect the dots. It only makes sense, right? I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, too, I'm pretty sure that Coates is writing a movie for Jordan right now.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong about that, but it just makes sense, right?
It does.
I mean, maybe something happened with Jordan, and he's like, I don't want to be involved in, you know, like, a franchise anymore. I've already got, you know,
two,
whatever, Creed, and yeah, you know, so that could be, you know. But there is a thing which resurfaced this week after this news, where it was an interview with Jordan and Oprah Winfrey, and Oprah was asking him, like, oh, well, you want to be Superman? And he's like, not like that. You know, I don't want to be Clark Kent.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense. I don't want to have to draw, you know, those comparisons. But I want to be, he said, Calvin Ellis.
Yeah. No, that, and again, if you do that, that's fine. You know, but at the but at the end of the day, that's still a conversation that I think people aren't ready for. It's just a tough road to walk. You know, like, you know, Miles Morales has survived it. But Superman is a different animal.
Well, I'm wondering if Miles Morales has sort of, you know, opened that door.
That's the thing. I think it has. But I think we're still ignoring a better possibility by using the Milestone universe.
Yeah, and I totally understand that. I guess what I'm wondering, though, too, is, well, I mean, there's a lot of variables at play, but I guess just looking at, like, let's say we're just looking at it from the perspective of, like, DC, Warner Brothers, or whatever, saying, like, we want to tell a story with character X, right? Mm-hmm. I can see why Icon would be the better choice creatively and everything, mm-hmm. but I guess also putting on my like studio executive hat, right? Yeah. You tell people like, oh, Icon. And then you got to explain who Icon is versus like, oh, it's Superman. And people are just like, oh, well, Superman, I get, right?
No, I understand that. But at the same time, A, the general public prior to 2008 didn't know anything about Iron Man, right? And that just worked. Same thing That's with true. You can go down with most of the characters in the MCU because
Guardians
up until
of the Galaxy.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody I can guarantee you if people were just like, "Oh yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Galaxy Guardians of the Galaxy prior to that movie came out," I could guarantee you that they were lying, right?
Yeah. I mean, so, even Black Panther, really.
All of the MCU characters, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody knew anything about them, right? Probably maybe Captain America just because his name is Captain America and the Hulk, which is a pretty easy concept to understand. But like Iron Man, no. Black Widow? No. Ant-Man? Absolutely not. The Guardians of the Galaxy? No. Captain Marvel? They thought he was the DC Captain Marvel, which is why they changed his name to Shazam, right? So like there's, you know, you can, the list goes on and on and on. Like nobody knew anything about those characters. And Marvel, as you know, I continue to say on this podcast, seems to make these things work, right? Yeah. So the same thing can be done here. And the other thing here is like, why is it that JJ is the helm of this project? This is another problem that Hollywood has. Why isn't it Ava DuVernay? Why isn't it, you know, why isn't Oprah producing this? Why isn't it, you know, Tyler Perry? Why isn't it Ryan Coogler? Why isn't it Spike Lee? Like, the list goes on. Why can't Delroy Lindo do this, right? You know, why is it that J.J. Abrams is doing this?
Well, I'm wondering if, and who knows, right, behind the scenes what's going on, but I'm wondering if this might be a case of, like, you know, obviously we know that Warner Brothers has like a huge deal with J.J. Abrams and they want him to develop properties. Is it a case where it's not like the studio saying like, we want to do a Black Superman, but it's J.J. Abrams saying like, well, I want to do a Superman story, but I want it to be a Black Superman. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, like, I don't think that there's no way in hell that Abrams is going to make this movie himself, right?
Yes.
Like, I see this his role in this as being like, I'm going to put my name on it here so that it makes it easier for other people to do their thing. But I don't see him like, I mean, I can't imagine he would do like anything creative on it, right?
Let's hope not.
I mean, and I guess that's the other thing, too, about this is it's like, is it the type of thing where Coates went to them and was like, I want to do a Black Superman story. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they went out and got him, not like they pursued him, but like he came to them. And if that happens, then, I mean, what are you going to say like, no? You know, I mean, are you going to...
They've said no already.
Okay. Do you mean like when Michael B. Jordan was trying to do it?
Yeah.
Or, okay, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's true, you know? I mean, who knows what happened with that? That could be, but I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like that's what's going on. And what I mean, obviously, I mean, Coates is a comic book writer, right? Mm-hmm. He's well versed in the mythology.
Yes.
I can't imagine any scenario in which he's like, it's Clark Kent, right? Like, that doesn't seem to make any sense at all.
I agree, and that's my worry because you know I don't trust DC and Warner Brothers on film. I just don't, right? Uh-huh. And you know, I have what I think are pretty sound reasons for not trusting them.
Oh yeah, they've made a lot of bad movies.
Granted, and the thing that kind of worries me is that Coates is also a journalist also. And so it's like, are you going to bring that aspect to it and try to do a Black Clark and try to do all this stuff?
I didn't even think about that part. But yeah.
Right? So if you're going to do this, right, do Val Zod or do Calvin Ellis. And again, I'll support it because, you know, I will watch it. You know, I will support it because those characters are original. They have their story. But I think, you know, a better story to tell would be with, you know, with Icon. And I think that, you know, I disagree with the sense that we still are refusing to use and let, you know, some light shine on the existing characters in the catalog.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the fact that there isn't a static movie is just insane, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is like a slam dunk idea right there. It has a built-in audience.
Especially after the success of Spider-Verse.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, you know, Black Lightning is cool and all, you know, but if you're trying to appeal to the youth of America, I don't think yes. that, you know, a 50-year-old, you know what I mean?
Yes. A 50-year-old principal with superpowers. Like, right. like as if you're a kid, you already think your principal has a superpower. Like, is like, you know, you already like have a fear of them. Like that's not right. cool to you. Your principal's not cool. So yeah.
It's like Static has like a cartoon, which has been around for how many years and all yeah. that stuff. I mean,
20.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of mind boggling that they haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
And I know they're working on it. And the fact that they're doing it like straight to HBO Max is insane. Mm-hmm. I don't get that at all.
Yep.
I'm not super familiar with Coates's work. I did watch Between the World and Me, which is based on his book, which I guess it's like letters written to his son kind of.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Thing. And it was like a play, I guess, like a performance piece more than anything. It's not like it's like basically people reading his book, you okay. know, and they took that and they turned it into a movie on HBO Max that they just, they just shot it like in August and then released it like 2 months later or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like a lot of like famous, I guess, primarily black actors mm-hmm. Who are essentially just reading his book, you okay. know. Which is all done in like first person kind of like letter form, you know, autobiographical stuff. So they've got like everyone. They've got Oprah Winfrey, Mahershala Ali, nice. You know, Felicia Rashad. Everybody is in this movie.
Oh, and they got her. That's how you know it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's
she's
really,
like she's like the matriarch of all this.
And that's like the role that they have. Like everyone else is just kind of like reading parts, you know.
Yeah.
But like for her, it was like very specific. Like, you know, she's uh-huh. playing like a character who oh, you know is it's, like the matriarch, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you know it's serious when she gets up in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really good. Really powerful. I definitely recommend it. And it's short. It's only like an hour and 20 minutes long.
Okay.
But, you know, like looking at that and just, you know, kind of like knowing his background and everything, like there's no way that he's just going to do like what they're talking about with you know, everyone's saying like, oh, Idris Elba for James Bond, you know, the yeah. next James Bond should be black, right?
Oh, well, if like, they're going to do that, then it needs to be Reggae Jean Page.
But like, I get the impression that, you know, is something that you kind of like see all the time where it's like, oh, well, this character is white, but we want, you know, a black actor in the role because we want it to be diverse, but we're not going to be doing anything to make it any different from if the character was white.
Yes.
Which is obviously a problem.
Yes.
And I can't see any scenario where that happens here.
Okay.
I mean, right? I mean, can you?
I mean,
with the people in, like, I could see a scenario where this happens, mm-hmm. but not with the people involved. Right?
Let's hope not. That's the thing, right? I'm more pessimistic about it because like there's too much evidence like that suggests that they will mess this up because that's what they've done with these types of things.
I guess so. I guess my thinking is like if they came out and said like, well, J.J. Abrams is producing a Superman movie and the character will be black, like that I'd be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say like, oh, well, Ta-Nehisi Coates is writing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay. Well, there's no way. I mean, he's never written a movie before, at least not that has been produced, right?
Yeah.
Everything that he's done is told from a very specific personal mm-hmm. perspective.
Okay.
There's no way he's going to give his time to this thing if it's not somehow meaningful, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, you would think. I hear you. It's just, you know, I don't trust the powers that be.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that's totally fair because they have made a lot of bad movies.
Yes.
But one of the things which they seem to be pivoting towards for good or bad is saying like, well, we're going to be much more filmmaker driven now mm-hmm. and we're going to let people tell their own stories, you know, and not be so concerned about continuity or whatever. And, you know, you could, I mean, if you get someone like Todd Phillips, then you end up with something like Joker. But Joker is very much a Todd Phillips movie. You know what I mean?
I mean, whereas somewhat. I mean, you can argue that it's somebody else's movie that he put his name on, but that's a different discussion.
Well, there's that too. But that's a, I mean, well, we won't get into that, but yeah. Whatever. I'm just saying, like, you watch that movie and you're like, yeah, I can see that Todd Phillips made that movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas some of the other stuff, it's more like, this has been put through, I mean, you know, Justice League being the prime example, like, mm-hmm. oh, well, this has been put through that studio machine and what we're getting is a piece of studio product, right? Mm-hmm. Which doesn't even have anyone's name on it, really. So, you know, I don't know. And I mean, it's weird because, like, in the statement, you know, Coates is like, I'm, you know, grateful that they to be involved or be, you know, invited to work in the DC extended universe. And I know that's not even really a thing, but yeah. that makes it seem like this isn't a Joker scenario where it is like something completely on its own, mm-hmm. but like this is somehow going to be involved in the larger continuity. But then again, they're introducing the multiverse. I mean, we're going to have two Batmans in this Flash movie. So,
mm-hmm. And we're going to have everybody in this Flash movie. We might not even have a Flash.
Let's hope not. But I guess here's the other thing, right? Okay, so we're talking about like Val Zod and Calvin Ellis and everything. Mm-hmm. But there is like a fourth possibility, which is they just create a brand new character from scratch.
And that'll piss me off. Because you have three opportunities for existing, you know, black characters that you could use that haven't gotten any shine at all, and then they're just gonna make one up. It's like, no, like tell the stories that like people that are out there. Why waste the knowledge that we have a Calvin Ellis with source material that you could use to make your story, or why waste the potential for showing Val Zod's story on screen? Why waste the potential of using Icon, right? And creating somebody just brand new. It's kind of, it's what annoys me about the whole, you know, in Future State with the, you know, the Black Batman, the fact that it's not Luke Fox. It's like the random other Luke, the random other Fox brother. And it's not, and it's also not Duke, a grown up Duke Thomas. Like, why would you do that? It's so stupid.
Yeah. I don't know why you would do that in that particular instance. I did my homework here I got the DC Universe Infinite app. I finally broke down and did that, and it's really cool. I keep on thinking, like, if I had this in high school, how different would my life be right now? For a lot of reasons, one, that I wouldn't be hanging out in the comic book store, which basically molded me into the person that I am today. But I read kind of the only Calvin Ellis story that's out there. He appeared in a couple of other things. Mm-hmm. And then I read the first 10 issues, which kind of introduce Val Zod in mm-hmm. Earth 2. And I guess here's my question for you. Assuming that they do go with one of those two characters, mm-hmm. which one would you prefer?
Val Zod. There's more story there.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, Calvin Ellis, I mean, really kind of almost seems like definitely like a product of its time.
Yes.
But more of just sort of like a celebratory statement or yes. whatever, you know, like, oh, Obama's president.
Exactly. It wasn't really intended to go anywhere. It was just.
Right.
Doing yeah. that. Because, you know, like shortly after he won the presidency, there's all sorts of stuff like an artwork and superhero art featuring him that came out. Right?
Yeah, I've got a signed framed Alex Ross thing of Obama. Yeah, like, doing, hanging up on my wall.
Yeah, ripping the shirt rip.
Yeah, I got that hanging on the wall right over there.
There you go.
There really was a lot of that, wasn't there?
There sure was.
And yeah, I mean, so it's like, okay, that's cool. And I, you know, I don't have any problem with that, but it does seem almost like a gimmick, right?
Yes.
Compared to Val Zod, which is, I mean, he has like a legit origin story mm-hmm. and everything like that. So I would agree that I think that would be the way to go if they did this.
But yeah.
Who knows what they'll do? I don't know. I do have to say, though, that I am excited either way. Okay. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of people who are like, you know, give Henry Cavill another movie, which they can still totally do. Why not?
He has another movie. It's called The Snyder Cut.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're getting like two more movies with him out of that thing, right? I mean, and that's fine. But like, I just watched Man of Steel again this week, mm-hmm. and I think it's probably the best Superman movie, you know, which has ever been made. Okay. And even that, I'm like, this is fine, and I would be all for another Henry Cavill movie, but none of these ideas, no Superman movie which has ever existed, has interested me as much as the idea of this movie here.
Yeah, well, I mean, Superman the movie is the GOAT. But if you're looking for like an interesting Superman movie, I challenge you to watch Superman versus the Elite.
I've seen that.
That's great, and that's a great Superman story.
Yeah, I can't say that I remember anything about it, but I have seen it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of the animated stuff is pretty great for sure. Mm-hmm. I'll have to rewatch Superman versus the Elite, but. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with it for sure. Do they tie it in? I mean, there's so many questions at this point, but I am certainly excited about it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I do want to read some more of this Earth 2 stuff because that comic is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I'm impressed. So there is another DC movie which is going to go into production later this year, apparently, and that is Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Another character, which is a, I guess, I mean, when you think about it, most DC characters are like, have multiple iterations and lots of times.
Yeah, they're legacy characters.
Yeah, and lots of times the new iteration is the more popular of the, you know, I mean, think about like yeah. Wally West, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, Green Lantern with the.
All of them except for Hal Jordan. Because all of them are better than Hal Jordan. Hal Jordan sucks.
I'm not saying who's better or worse, but who's more popular or whatever. Okay. All right. You know, that's cool. I'm a Guy Gardner fan myself, you know.
Guy's great. I love Guy.
But yeah, but I mean, like, Hal Jordan is more popular than Alan Scott, you know? Like,
yeah, anyway, but he's not a better character.
Maybe. Ah. I don't know. Yeah. But there is a new Blue Beetle as well. And mm-hmm. That's who they're going with for this movie. Mm-hmm. The movie is going to be directed by Angel Manuel Soto, who did Charm City Kings, which just came out this year. A lot of people are saying it's really good. Have you seen it?
It is good. It is good.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I'll have to check
I was surprised.
It's on HBO Max.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. I was going to try to watch it before this, but I ran out of time. I had to read all those Earth 2 comics. And it's written by the writer of the Miss Bala remake.
Okay.
Which I haven't seen, but looked intriguing for sure. And they're using Jaime Reyes as the character.
Jaime
Reyes. I'm sorry. Jaime Reyes as the character. And yeah, I mean, that's what it is. The first Latino character mm-hmm. First Latino superhero in DC. So my familiarity with this character, I think, comes mainly from Batman Brave and the Bold.
Okay.
Which was always cool. I mean, that mm-hmm. His episodes were always pretty great.
They're hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, what do you think about this?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that they're using Jaime Reyes. And second, I'm shocked because they took the appropriate approach with this. As you mentioned off top, it's like they're using the more popular and iconic version of this character. Note, they're not using Ted Kord, right? Mm-hmm. But and I think it's funny that they didn't do this with Green Lantern. When they came out with the Green Lantern movie, they're like, let's Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan. It's like, no. Like, we had Justice League for the, you know, 7 years worth of Justice League where the face of the Green Lantern Corps and the face of what Green Lantern was in DC was Jon Stewart, right? And they're just like, oh, got to go with Hal Jordan. It's like, no, that's the wrong move. And that movie sucked anyway. So, like, you know, like what are we doing? So I'm glad that they got it right with this. And again, there were some people, you know, online who were upset about it. It's like, oh, DC's just, you know, just doing this to check a box. It's like, no, they're not. Like, Jaime Reyes has been around for a long time, right? Yeah. And he is Blue Beetle, right? He is an original Blue Beetle. He's not a, you know, pretty much Batman knockoff in a lot of ways the way that Ted Kord was. Yeah, he's more interesting. He has cooler things going for him. He's a younger character, so it can reach a different type of audience. You can build off of him and do, like, you know, some Teen Titans / Young Justice stuff with him. Like, the possibilities are endless with this. And so I think this is a good move.
Yeah, it's exciting. It kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think anyone was really expecting it. You know, people are all... I mean, when you think about, like, how long it's taken them to make this Flash movie, and then they're like, Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
in production this fall, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. DC making a lot of moves. You know, they also have the Justice League coming out, the Snyder Cut, and you know, we're kind of getting this slow drip of publicity from them.
Sure.
They did like some sort of like fan event Q&A thing or whatever, and they released a clip from the movie, I guess. I don't know. It's like a 2-minute clip of like abstract art.
BS is what it was. Like when you sent this to me, and I sent you two things back, just like the ... uh-huh. And then what the hell was that? Because I saw that, I'm just like, what kind of crap is this? Like, this is I was excited for the Snyder Cut when I saw the first trailer that they dropped at Fandom, the Hallelujah trailer. I was like, this is great. Like, maybe they're going to get it right this time. Like, maybe all this nonsense that's gone on with this movie, all the drama, all the, you know, the discussions online, all that stuff, maybe it'll be worth it because this looks great. Right. And then the second one comes out and just like, well, I mean, it's cool that the Bat Tank is there, but I like the first trailer better. Right. Yeah. And a lot of what we saw in the second thing is stuff that I've already seen. And then we come out with this pretentious garbage. I'm like, what is this? So it's like, I start off like, you know, great, high expectations and high excitement with Hallelujah. The second one I taken down a notch. And then this one just made me mad because I was like, this sucks. So like, again, I'm going to watch it. It's gotten my money. It's gotten my attention. It's not like I'm not going to see it. Right. And I don't want it to fail, but I'm not going to be shy about saying that it did if it does.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm wondering if this is like the first 2 minutes of the movie or something like that, or I don't know. It's weird. I don't think it works. I think you're right that it is pretentious. I kind of feel, I mean, who knows? We'll have to see it in the context of the movie, but I kind of feel like this is what happens when you tell someone, you can do whatever you want. No restrictions.
I'm raising my hands because, again, like, I'm not going to go into it. Y'all can listen to other, like, our previous podcasts about this. But, like, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. And I mean, this isn't going to make or break or anything. I mean, it's 2 minutes of a movie, which has been revealed as 4 hours and 1 minute long. 1 minute. So,
and that's another thing that I just like shook my head at and laughed at, because it's like, of course, it's 4 hours and 1 minute. Like,
it was 3 hours and 59 minutes. And then they were like, what else can we add? What if we do this weird thing with a box?
This weird 2 minute pretentious BS.
Yeah. We'll just stick that at the beginning and, you know. But, well, you know, it is going to be one movie, they said. It's not going to be broken up into episodes, because apparently they were, like, concerned about what that would mean in terms of, like, paying people for a TV show or whatever. But it is going to have chapters, so you can stop it at, you know, specific chapters if you want.
Okay.
The other thing that they said is that further down the road, they do want to do a IMAX release of the movie. And when they do that, there will be an intermission, which will be scored by Junkie XL, which, you know, I guess just makes sense, but is also kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
And also the black and white version, the Justice is Gray version, will be coming out on HBO Max, but it won't be until sometime further down the road.
Okay.
Well, which sucks, because, like, I definitely wanted to watch that version of the movie, since he says that's the way to watch it. But, like, if I sit through this thing, you know, which I'm going to on March 18th, and it's 4 hours long, if it's good, if it's great, then I will totally watch the Justice is Gray version. But if it sucks, I may never see the Justice is Gray version, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, you know, Zack Snyder, he's got another movie coming out, a brand new movie, Army of the Dead.
World War Z by Zack Snyder, because that's what that trailer looked like.
World War Vegas. they released the trailer. What did you think about it?
It looked like World War Z.
Okay, yeah. I think it looked better than that. I think it had more of a humorous approach to it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's not much there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm definitely down with it. I mean, I'll watch anything that the guy does because I've liked a lot of his stuff. Okay. But yeah, it looks like it could be a cool little original movie. One thing that people have pointed out, I didn't notice this when I was watching it, but at one point they go into like a bank vault. Mm-hmm. Because like that's the whole thing, is they're like doing a heist in Vegas in the middle of the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
That's the premise of the movie. So they go into this bank vault, and if you look in the corner up on a shelf are like four film cans, mm-hmm. which is supposedly the Snyder cut. Yeah.
Oh, locked, well, that's, you know, that's just, you know, the Zach is just so brilliant for putting that little Easter egg in there and trolling the fans. Isn't he great?
Eh, you know, whatever.
That's what people are already saying.
So that'll be on the good old Netflix in May. Now, another trailer which dropped is for a new show on Hulu, MODOK. Now, this is one which was part of like a Marvel adult animated like
yes.
franchise, and they basically said like, now we're only going to do, I think, one or two of them, and they might be doing one more aside from this. Mm-hmm. I know the one that they're not doing, which really upset me, was Howard the Duck, that Kevin Smith was doing.
Yeah.
They did not pick that up, but they did pick up MODOK with Patton Oswalt as MODOK. And it looks like, I don't know if it is, but it looks like stop motion animation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of digging it. What did you think?
It looked funny. MODOK is a very funny and off the wall villain. So, mm-hmm. And I think they're leaning into that with the style of this type of show. And yeah. So like, they're not trying to like, you know, make him some like super serious threat. Like they're treating him as a joke. So mm-hmm. like that is, I think that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely has some Robot Chicken vibes to it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm happy about a bit more mainstream in the Marvel front. Spider-Man 3 has a title.
Mm-hmm.
It's called No Way Home.
I thought it was Home Skillet or Home Wrecker or Home Depot or Homework Is Due.
You know, having
all those were funny.
Having a little bit of fun. Yeah, phone home was good. I kind of got excited about that, but whatever. Should have been Home for the Holidays.
Since it's going to be at Christmas.
It's at Christmas, yep. But, you know, whatever.
Homeward
no
Bound.
Way home. Yeah. Whatever. That's fine. It's kind of a cute little video. So,
yeah.
All right. So the other big news this week is that Paramount Plus had an investor presentation or whatever, where they were talking about everything that they're doing mm-hmm. on their streaming services. And there were a few pretty big announcements there. The first one is that the Halo show, which was now in production and was going to be on Showtime, is now going to be on Paramount Plus. It just makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you a Halo fan?
Not really. Like, I played the first couple at like a friend's house because I've never had an Xbox. So yeah. I've played like friends. So the game is fun, but I didn't really get into it outside of, you know, playing it at friends' houses.
Yeah, I played the first one. It's one of the only games I've ever beaten, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And I went with my friend to the midnight release of Halo 2.
Okay.
And we got it, and we went home, and we started playing. And after like 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And I've never really played it since. But, yeah, you know, I'll watch the show. Why not?
Okay.
Because I'll have Paramount Plus and now until the day I die, because they've got a billion Star Trek shows on there.
That's right.
Including now Star Trek Prodigy.
I like the title.
Yeah. This was the show which was going to be on Nickelodeon. This was mm-hmm. causing me an enormous amount of anxiety and stress mm-hmm. because I was like, okay, I need to see this as soon as humanly possible. It's only going to be on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm going to have to sign up for YouTube TV and pay like 60 bucks a month to watch that? Yeah. That's fine if it's during baseball season, but what happens if it's in the off season? Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And they announced that it's going straight to Paramount Plus.
There you go.
Oh, Thank God. It'll air on Nickelodeon later, but it's going straight to Paramount Plus right now. And they released the first photo from the show, mm-hmm. which has the bridge crew, which is a bunch of ragtag aliens. None of them are human.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of speculation, like, is that, you know, an alien from the books? Is that, you know, the one of Neelix's people or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it's weird because, like, I look at it and they're really leaning into the fact that it's animation. They can do anything they want.
Anything,
right?
Yeah.
You can have a big blob and just be like, oh, that's, you know, a weird alien blobby guy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's cool. And in a lot of ways, that's much more realistic than what they do now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm just like, but how does the blob sit? Like in
and
the
do stuff,
captain.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, you know, one of those things where I need to, like, really kind of like divorce myself from that idea, because obviously they'll figure that out, and obviously this is a more realistic portrayal of the universe than what we've had.
Yeah,
and they did not show a picture of Janeway, and they said that the reason for that is because if they showed a picture of Janeway, the only thing anyone would be talking about is Janeway.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
You know, starting off with these other characters and then building up to that. So
okay.
I'll definitely watch it, of course. And
cool.
The other sort of bit of news that they announced is that, you know, they've got now with Prodigy and Strange New Worlds coming up, they've got 5 series currently on the air, 5 Star Trek series currently mm-hmm. on the air. And a number of them are being developed still, including the Section 31 show with Michelle Yeoh, which they've been...
Oh, I keep forgetting about that one.
Yeah, yeah, that's the problem. I think they do too. I think probably what their plan was, like, that was going to be going into production now, but people wanted that Strange New Worlds show so bad with Pike and Spock and everything that they were just like, screw Section 31, give the people what they want, you know? Mm-hmm. Which is fine and all, except I'm way more interested in Section 31, to be honest. And now what they're saying is like, yeah, we're still in talks, whatever that means. I mean, they have like a writer's room and everything. But they're like, well, we're not going to have another show come on the air until one of these shows is canceled.
Okay.
And it's like, well, let's cancel one of these shows then, guys. Come on. You know, but who knows what that means? I mean, will this happen? If it does, when? You know, we probably won't be seeing the show for another, like, 2 or 3 years at minimum. So that's kind of disappointing. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the same time, it's like, what's wrong with them? Why don't they have enough faith in Star Trek to put 6 shows on the air?
Just give them all.
Yeah. Oh, well. Some other news from Paramount Plus. Frasier is officially happening. It was a no doubter, but
yeah.
And I know that you're excited about this. They're bringing back the original creators of Avatar: The Last Airbender to expand the franchise, creating Avatar Studios, where they're going to be doing more episodes, I guess, of Avatar, more mm-hmm. spin-offs, theatrical, animated motion pictures, the whole thing. So what do you think about this?
Yes. Hell yes. Hell yes. Seriously, like, some of the best, you know, animated anything that has come out has been Avatar: The Last Airbender, that entire universe, right? And it is as good as people say, and it deserves every superlative that people give it. And, you know, the fact that the creators are behind it, and the fact that we have, you know, comic books and now a couple of novels of material to use, and the fact that we can put on screen now, and, you know, we have them to kind of continue the legacy of that universe and the characters there, because the universe is so unique and there's a lot of possibilities and ways you can do with it. We can now have a new avatar, because we've had an airbender avatar, we've had a waterbender avatar, and now we can have an earthbending avatar if we're going through the cycle, right? And if we're going through the times, this could be, you know, we can have a modern day take on the character. Like, there's so many different possibilities that are available to us now. And I love how they just kind of basically kind of gave the finger to whoever's involved with the Netflix show that's supposedly being developed, and to Shyamalan, who almost ruined this great franchise.
It is kind of funny that, like, the original creators were involved in the Netflix show, and then they're like, we'll do our own thing instead.
Yes.
So that's cool. That's cool. One disappointing thing to come out of this whole Paramount Plus thing is that Twilight Zone has been canceled.
Yeah, that sucks. I've only seen things in the first season. It's just, you know, there's just so much stuff, but I enjoyed what I saw.
Yeah, I need to get on that show. It's just one of those things that hasn't really been the priority that it should be for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really disappointing. And then I just heard a thing the other day. I was just listening to a podcast, and Kevin Smith revealed that they asked him to write and direct an episode.
Really?
Yeah. And, well, now the show's canceled, so I guess that's not happening. But
oh, well.
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, something which is happening over on the good old Netflix. Production IG, the anime studio that's behind Ghost in the Shell and whatnot, they are making a Terminator anime for Netflix.
This is a great idea.
Yeah, and it's going to be run by Mattson Tomlin, the guy who is writing the Batman movie.
Okay.
And he also wrote, I never saw this, but that Jamie Foxx movie on Netflix, like Power.
Yeah, like where people have powers and stuff.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
I have not. It's in my queue, though.
Yeah, I need to check that out, too. I mean, hey, you know, they've tried a billion times now to do a Terminator follow-up or whatever, and with varying degrees of success or unsuccess. Mm-hmm. Why not? I mean, the idea of, like, the Ghost in the Shell people doing a Terminator movie.
That is the key.
That's pretty cool, right?
That is the key, and that's what has me excited about this.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm sure that we won't see it for like 2 or 3 years, because I know these things take forever, but hey, why not? Let's try everything.
It's
infinite timelines. You can do whatever you want, Terminator.
Agreed.
Yeah. So G.I. Joe, this is kind of a surprise, but there's a G.I. Joe TV series, live action, in the works at Amazon, which will focus on Lady J.
I'm shocked that, like, there's a demand for G.I. Joe stuff.
If you got the property and you can, you know, whatever, then cool, I guess, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, of all the other, you know, properties that are, available, it's surprising.
Well, you got, but they have the Snake Eyes movie coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if this is going to tie in or be whatever, but Lady J was played by Adrienne Palicki in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, she's primarily a TV actress, right?
Yes.
You'd think that she would be on board if that's the route that they wanted to go.
Yeah. And that poor girl is she's been tied to so many different IPs. And a lot of them just haven't stuck. It's just like, so, you know, and granted, like, I'm surprised that there's a demand for some, you know, G.I. Joe stuff, but if she can find her footing with this and kind of like have, like, you know, be like the action star that I think she kind of still wants to be, like, go for it.
That'd be awesome. I mean, remember when they were going to do a S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff?
Yes.
With Mockingjay?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been so cool. Why didn't that happen?
Probably the same reason that, you know, her Wonder Woman didn't happen. She did not become Supergirl on Smallville.
Is that going to be a thing?
It could have been, but she was, you know, she was a fake out.
Yeah. She's so good. I mean, like, going back to, like, Friday Night Lights and everything.
Oh, yeah. No, she's great in that show.
I could not care less about G.I. Joe because my parents wouldn't let me play with G.I. Joe when I was a kid. Because it was about war and they had guns and stuff. Which, I mean, they were perfectly fine with Star Wars and, you know, Transformers, because it was robots who were killing each other and everything. But, you know, they drew the line at G.I. Joe, which is, you know, fine, whatever.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, if Adrienne Palicki is starring in this thing, I'll watch it for sure. I like the last G.I. Joe movie.
Okay. That's cool. I mean, I didn't hate it. But yeah, it's just interesting to me because, like, I guess it's just not my thing, G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I mean, so. Yeah, I don't know who any of the characters are or anything like that. I'm just
outside of Snake Eyes, I have no idea.
Yep. All right. Well, one last thing here. One of the most exciting things for me, I guess. Steven Soderbergh is directing a new movie.
Your boy.
Of course. Yep. It's called Kimmy, and it's going to star Zoe Kravitz. It's being written by David Kapp, who wrote Jurassic Park, The Lost World, Jurassic Park, Mission Impossible, like everything, you know?
Yeah.
And the film follows an agoraphobic tech worker who discovers recorded evidence of a violent crime during an ordinary data stream review and tries reporting it up the chain of command at her company. Meeting with resistance and bureaucracy, she realizes that in order to get involved, she will have to do the thing she fears the most, leave her apartment. I'm on board.
Well, see, you know, you're on board because of your boy.
Yeah.
I'm on board because of my girl. So,
yeah,
let's go.
All right. Hey.
Because I'm a huge fan of her and her mom. So.
Oh, yeah. They're both great. Yeah. Her dad's pretty good too.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that whole family.
Yeah, I mean she's awesome. I mean X-Men First Class, she was cool, and I can't wait to see her. I mean the few stills that we've seen of her, I need to see Dope. I can't believe I haven't seen Dope, but I need to see that. The few stills that we've seen of her in the Batman, I mean she's going to be awesome, right?
Yeah, she is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Oh God. And with Soderbergh and David Kapp, Soderbergh doing a David Kapp script. I don't know. I'm excited. This is like one of the top movies I'm looking forward to now. Who knows when we'll get it? I mean, he's already made another movie, which is completely done, which will be on HBO Max. And I think he's working on something else first, but then this one's going to be on HBO Max too. But the thing about Soderbergh is he shoots movies in like 5 minutes. So, you know. Speaking of which, just one last thing here for anyone. Public service announcement. The Nick is now on HBO Max or will be in the next couple days. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
I have not.
It is one of the best shows you'll ever see. It's Steven Soderbergh. He directed every single episode, all 20 of them. It lasted 2 seasons. And it stars Clive Owen, who is this like genius surgeon at a hospital in New York at the turn of the century, like 1901.
Oh, so it's not about Patrick Ewing.
No, it's not. It's about the Knickerbocker. It is so good. I mean, it's like ER, right? Kind of like House. He's basically House, but at the turn of the century. So, you know, the stuff that you see in there is just like all of it is just so cringy because they don't shy away from. They're like, oh, and here we're doing some brain surgery and here's the brain, you know,
okay.
they'll do that stuff. But then also it's just things like we are prepping for surgery. Let's rinse our hands off in this bowl. And then just dig in without any gloves or anything like that, because what are germs, you know? It is like you're just watching it the whole time and you're like, oh my God. But it does, like, it paints such a vivid picture of this era and does it in such like a realistic way with like this weird like electronic score and everything like that.
Okay.
The performances are awesome. It's got, I mean, Clive Owen is the star, but like kind of like the secondary character is Andre Holland.
Okay.
And then they've got like Eve Hewson in there and stuff like that. It weaves in like all of these like real life events, you know, like Typhoid Mary is in it and stuff like that. And it is such a good show. I don't know what else to say. Like, I don't understand why this isn't regarded in the same breath as like The Sopranos and you know, True Detective and stuff like that. This is as good as those shows. Okay. And now it's going to be on HBO Max, and I'm hoping that everybody sees it because it's a masterpiece.
Okay.
Definitely watch it.
Okay. I'll add it to my queue on HBO Max.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. Lance, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias, and you can find me over on the United Federation of Podcasts talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow on the podcast that I co-host with Cavante Chillis called Always on Another Arrow. You can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
All right, you can find me on Letterboxd and Twitter at Mumbles3K. You can also find me on my website, filmdamagepod.com, doing a show called Film Damage, where we talk about time travel, Star Trek, and film projection. We just dropped 3 new episodes this week, so you can hear us talk about the time travel in Groundhog Day and the time travel in the Star Trek episode of Groundhog Day, you know, cause and effect. And also, you can hear us talk about the aspect ratio of the Snyder Cut and try to explain on a technical level why it is what it is. Yeah, and then you can also find me currently on Trek Film Society, which is a show on talkfilmsociety.com where we take a look at Star Trek movies. All right, well, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.